Good Saturday morning, Teachers on Fire. Welcome to another edition of Saturday Morning Teacher Talk, my opportunity to review some of the top posts across Education X from the last week. I hope you've had a good week. Welcome to December. The break is approaching. Let's say that some rest, some well-deserved and well-needed rest is on the way. Let's jump right into some of these top posts from Education X across the last week. Starting with this post from Natalie Vardabasso. You will find her on X at Natabasso. She says, one of the greatest motivators for deeper learning is an authentic audience. Greater than compliance, greater than grades, greater than the threat of a zero, who might learners share their work with outside of the classroom? Well, I love this post for many reasons, but one of them is I've been doing some thinking and writing around this idea of leveraging grades to elicit performance. I don't think it's a great idea, and it sounds like Natalie is on board with that as well. So thank you, Natalie. But I also love this idea of the authentic audience. And I've written about this in the past. It's tricky in today's privacy law paradigm or environment that we find ourselves in. It's tricky to give students opportunities to share their work with an authentic world, with people outside of the community, but even within the community. Think about who else can they share their work with around the school building or among the parents in the community. We've already got a comment. It's from my friend Josh Tovar, last guest here on the podcast. Great to see you, brother. Buenos dias, hermano. Yes, yeah, same to you as well. Thank you for joining me for even a minute this morning. That is wonderful. Well, let's move on to Katie White. And she is found on X at KatieWhite426. She writes, how can we get learners making decisions early in the learning process? We can ask them to stop and consider what decisions are available to them instead of making all the decisions for them. Absolutely. So she shares in her post a reproducible from her book, Unlock. And that book came out, I believe, in 2018. Katie will correct me if I have that wrong. Learning goals I am planning on addressing. This is a tool that students can use, and she's got four columns and a couple of rows. And for the podcast listeners, I'll say that the four columns are titled My Goal, Materials and Resources, Prior Knowledge and Skills, and then Action Steps. So it's a very clear articulation of the pathway toward the goal, and I love that as well. I don't yet have Unlock. I need to pick it up, Katie. It's on the wish list. It is on the wish list. Moving on to this quote, or this post rather, from Trevor McKenzie at Trev McKenzie, or Trev underscore McKenzie. He says, we mustn't rescue our kids from the hard work and struggle in reflection, revision, and accepting and using critique. The thinking fatigue, the unfamiliarity of reflection, and the vulnerable feelings are all reasons to stick with these processes and values rather than to avoid them. Just because students have been taught out of curiosity doesn't mean we can't teach it back. This is a timely post, partly because here in British Columbia, without going into great detail, I'll just say that it's really hardwired into the system for students to do a lot of self-reflection. Every term, every semester, every unit, basically every lesson. But it is built right in. And so sometimes you hear from students things like, oh no, not another reflection. Well, Trevor's pushing back against that and saying, listen, teachers, don't give up. What we're doing is we're building important metacognitive habits. These are valuable. They're going to accelerate the learning process. They're going to be valuable skills for life. Let's not give up. Next one from Teacher to Teacher. They write, and they are a source for so much goodness, Teacher to Teacher, along with TCEA. Those two accounts, wow, they will blow your mind sometimes. But they write, what are your favorite formative assessment questions you might ask yourself? And they are passing this on from an educator on X at Danita underscore Hicks. So what are your favorite formative assessment questions you might ask yourself as a teacher? Now, I'm not suggesting we sit down and ask these every single day. That's not possible, but at least not in a formal sense. But three questions they suggest. What do I want my students to learn today? How will I know if they are learning? So what's my success criteria? And what will I do if they have or have not learned it? Three pretty simple questions that can fuel a lot of thoughtful practice. So appreciate that. Moving on to Tyler Rablin at Mr. _ Rablin. I thought this one was funny. He says, hear me up. What if we put every staff member's name on a board, posted in the office, and then publicly awarded or took away points based on their behavior? No? Bad idea, but like fine to do to kids somehow? Because that exact system exists in tons of classrooms. Yes, absolutely. And I grew up in that system. That system was in my classrooms. I didn't see my name up on the board too many times, but I remember some of my friends appeared on the board frequently with a number of counts beside their name or whatever. So it's a fun poke, a little bit of sarcasm here from Tyler, but he's provoking us to thought, challenging this practice a little bit of the public shaming that occurs in many classes. Is it fair to call it public shaming? I don't know. Primary teachers, call me out on that. Push back on that if you'd like. Moving on to a post from Roy Smith at English_Roy, one of the original guests here on the Teachers on Fire podcast. Roy says, teachers should never tell students they, quote, should know something already, end quote. Help students understand what they need to know until they know. Yeah, absolutely. I don't remember. I think probably, I'm sort of putting myself under examination here. I think probably what I have done in the past is I've said things like, I think you were taught this last year, or you may remember this from the previous grade, but hopefully I'm not putting them in a place where they feel embarrassed or ashamed if they don't know something from a previous year, because absolutely, Roy, your point is well taken that whether they know it, whether they learned it, or whether they were supposed to learn it or not, it's our job to graciously take them where they are and move them to their next step of learning. Zoe Brannigan Pipe is here, and she said goodbye to a principal I had the privilege of working with since September. He made a huge impact in a short time. His secret, leading with genuine kindness. He trusted his staff, their professional judgment, empowered them by sharing positive feedback, kind to students, door open. There you have it, and Josh, who is with the broadcast this morning, models this so well, but look at what Zoe is describing. It's just all people skills. And that's not to say that we don't want educational and instructional leaders in our buildings. Of course we do, but look at everything she's describing here is people skills. It's generosity of heart. It's empathy of character. And this principal made a difference through relationships and interactions in the building. So thank you, Zoe, for sharing that one. That is telling. It's impactful. Jason, former guest here on the podcast, says it's Friday, adults in school. Some of us might be looking forward to 3:30 today. Some of our kids are not. Some of the ones you least expect are dreading 3:30 because they'd rather be at school with you. Make sure to show every kid you care about them today before 3:30. Absolutely. Thank you for that, Jason. And I always think there's sort of a fine balance to be walked with these kinds of posts. So the effect or the intention of these kinds of posts should not be that we feel guilty about celebrating the end of the day. Hey, teachers, we are tired. When we reach the end of the day, we are deserving of a rest. We're deserving of a break. Don't ever feel guilty or apologize for that. But on the other hand, I think his point is well taken that let's remember there are some students who are not looking forward to the end of the day in quite the same way. So let's be mindful of them. Let's try to pour into them before they leave our buildings. Julianne at EdTech Math Teach says, November was exceptionally brutal for me this year, but it ended on a high note. I am hopeful the momentum shift goes into December and I end the year strong. I wanted to include this one because, number one, Julianne is awesome. Really appreciate her posts that I've been seeing lately, but also, notice this honesty, but also positivity. It's not a toxic sort of blind positivity. She's saying, look, my month was really difficult. It was exceptionally brutal, but I ended on a high note and I am hoping the momentum shift goes into December. So I just thought, hey, that is what we want, don't we? From our educators and colleagues. Jay Wamstead, getting a little bit more serious here. See what you think of this post. It's a little controversial, maybe has the potential to get a little bit negative. but I thought I would throw it out there as a conversation starter, and then we'll end with a technology post. Jay says, admin hires a new teacher. New teacher works hard and does well. Admin adds more to new teacher's plate. New teacher slowly burns out because humans aren't scalable. Admin adds more to new teacher's plate. New teacher collapses and quits. Admin hires another new teacher. So this is a narrative that we keep seeing around education, social media. Josh, you talked about keeping it positive, keeping it uplifting in our social media. I'm not calling Jay out whatsoever here. I think if that's your reality, if that's your narrative, then feel free to share it. But I am curious, is that a reality, a scenario that you are seeing in your school? And if so, what are those things being added to your plates, especially if you are a new teacher? I'd love to hear back from you on that. Last post today, we're going to end with a technology post. Love to end with technology. And Mel from Australia, who is currently teaching in Mali? I'm not sure. I feel bad that I am not remembering the country, but it'll come to me, of course, as soon as I end the broadcast. At any rate, Mel says, don't know where the MacBook is, but I made an attempt. We'll add my other attempts in the thread. Have you tried this yet? So she's got a link to designer.microsoft.com/image-creator. Again, if you're listening on the podcast, that is designer.microsoft.com/image-creator. It's another text-to-image tool, and I will just read to you her prompt, her text prompt. It's kind of fun in the sense of how detailed it is. So listen to this. She's got, and I assume this is basically a self-portrait from Mel. She says, a cartoon version of a middle-aged mixed Asian white female who has her brunette hair tied back in a bun. She does not have a fringe. She has freckles across her nose and cheeks. She has hazel-colored eyes. She is wearing a collared loose shirt. Pardon me. A collared loose short sleeve patterned shirt with loose black pants. She has a green apple in one hand and her MacBook in the other. She has a tired expression on her face. All right. Well, Mel, maybe you needed to capitalize MacBook there because the MacBook didn't disappear. But other than that, that's a pretty good rendering. It's actually, believe it or not, it's not too far away from the actual Mel. And Mel is a little cagey with her self-portrait. I don't think we have, no, we do not have a self-portrait here in her profile pic. But if you do some digging on Mel, you'll see that cartoon version is not too far off. So there you have it. There is a new text-to-image tool to try. I've tried Adobe Firefly, Canva, Magic AI. What is it? Magic Draw? They've got a name for it. And here is the Microsoft Image Creator. So maybe there's a video demonstration to create the side-by-side of those three. But designer.microsoft.com/image-creator. Check it out. See what the Microsoft text-to-image tool will do for you. And have a little fun with that. Compare with Mel. She posted this. She made this post on X at 6:29 on December 1st. That was yesterday morning, so you'll find it on her feed. And if I didn't say already, you'll find Mel at Fungooli, F-U-N-G-O-O-L-I. So connect with her, have some fun. Mel is always up for experimentation around tech tools. She is a lifelong learner for sure. Educators, thank you so much for joining me for another round of the top education posts of the week here on Education X. This conversation appears on the Teachers on Fire podcast as well. I will put it up shortly after these broadcasts are complete. And speaking of broadcasts in the plural, coming up on the channel, I will be speaking live with Ashley Aoki, a fantastic educator here in British Columbia. You're going to want to tune in for that one and her new podcast, the Spirals of Inquiry podcast. Check it out. Coming up shortly at the top of the hour. But again, if you are listening on the podcast, you will find that conversation in the very next episode. Thank you so much for joining me, Teachers on Fire. Hey, in these difficult times, would you share an encouraging and uplifting message with a colleague? Take care of yourself and keep your own fire for learning burning bright. Bye-bye, and see you next week.